It's time for a solid hour of Tea Party Power. And now, here's Janine Garofalo's favorite tea-bagging redneck, Mark Gillar.
Good morning, Tea Partiers. Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. I'm your host, Mark Gillar. Our very special guest today is Brian Sack. He is the author of the BS of A. He's here to tell us exactly what that stands for. Brian.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Connie, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem whatsoever. Now, you are with Glenn Beck TV at this point.
And I am. Why do you say at this point? Do you know something I don't?
Well, it's not my place, Brian. I'm sorry.
Yes, we have I'm producing a show on Glenn's new network, GVTV, called The BS of A, which is named after my book.
Very good. And I understand you recently interviewed a friend of mine, Oleg Atbashian.
Yes, Oleg, yep, from the Red Cube, or peoplescube.com.
People's Cube, yes. It's really great. No matter how much or how little effort you put into it, you get the same results.
Exactly.
Point of socialism.
Yeah, we had him in our first show, actually.
Yeah.
At our bar. We have an interview bar.
Ah, okay. I'm going to be honest. He sent me the clip. I haven't had a chance to take a look at it yet, but I'm anxious to. How are things going with Glenn Beck TV?
Great. I mean, it's extremely busy. I mean, I was here until well past midnight last night working on today's show. We're taping this afternoon what will be our fourth episode of the BS of A.
Gotcha.
And, it's very busy. We have a nice staff here, but we could use probably triple. You know how it is.
Hire a lot of former talk show hosts, do you, Brian?
No, I mean, well, if they can help.
I'm just kidding. Now, tell me a little bit about the book, The BS of A. I'm guessing I know what, especially given the number of spaces involved here, I know what BS stands for.
I believe you do.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the BS of A, a primer in politics for the incredibly disenchanted is the subtitle.
Well, that would be most of us.
Yeah, pretty much. And the timing I thought was pretty good. It came out in August and pretty much at the peak of everybody's misery. Although it seems to be getting worse as we head into election season.
Now, I have to be honest, I didn't get a chance to finish the book, but I was able to go through it a little bit, and you seem to have a problem with the partisan bickering that goes on. Me and my liberal friends, we like to fight.
I like to fight. No, I mean, it's fun over the dinner table, but when it, you know, shuts the whole country down and makes everybody absolutely miserable, that's when it starts to get annoying.
Okay, so when you know, say things like, "Well, no, we're not going to compromise because that's what elections are for." I mean,
it's more about. I mean, you know, I've been in some situations where it just gets ugly because you know politics is like religion to people, so they take it very, very seriously.
Right. So, like, if somebody says to someone else, "You're stupid," it's
right. Yeah, that happened at the to my someone at the dinner table said they voted for Obama and somebody else said you're an idiot. It's like wow, that's not a very civil conversation, is it?
And you said that person spoke four languages.
Yeah, well, the person who was supposedly an idiot, yeah, is a well-spoken, intelligent person who voted for somebody I didn't vote for, but hey, I'm not going to call them an idiot.
That's true, even if it's true. I'm sorry.
And there we go. There's the partisan part.
Exactly. And you're going to get a lot of that here if you didn't pick that up on the introduction.
No, I figured I heard the Janine Garofalo bar, but I've actually walked by her in the West Village before.
What was that like?
You know, she looks different in person.
You mean she's really beautiful in person?
Nope. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. You know, I've invited her to be on the show, and I kind of created this introduction to entice her, and somehow her publicist doesn't think it would be a good idea.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. I'm not sure if she still lives in the village, but I've seen her a couple times on Bill Maher, although she seems to use the same old rhetoric, which the George Bush is dumb and he stole the election. That's her standard routine, it seems to be.
Well, not only that, I mean, she's memorized a little bit of anatomy about the brain and likes to talk about that. Oh, and Stockholm Syndrome. That's
right.
That,
yes,
that is her big thing. Everybody, any woman who votes Republican is guilty of.
Right.
Suffering from Stockholm syndrome. Any African American who votes for the Republican Party is suffering from Stockholm syndrome.
Right.
You know, my take on that is that we have an entire block of people who are enslaved to welfare on Uncle Sam's plantation, and they're willing to trade their vote
for
the little security of a welfare check. That's the biggest example of Stockholm syndrome, and somehow that flies right past Janine. But tell me this: why does a country this big have only two real parties? And Ron Paul, I hope you're not listening, because I mean, libertarians, they're real. So.
Well, I mean, I think that the two parties that are in power like being, you know, like not having a lot of competition. And we have, you know, this duopoly. And they don't seem to want to, you know, cede any power to any other party. And they seem to try and absorb any kind of independent party that comes along. They kind of, you know, agree to or pretend to take on some of their positions and their concerns. I think that's, you know, what's happening with the Tea Party, for example. Oh, you know, so, you know, because you have a lot of Republicans who have in the past been big government Republicans now saying, oh, yeah, sure, we understand your concerns. You know, it's really frustrating for me, you know, for somebody like me who tends to be an independent voter, and to see these two parties that I find extremely frustrating. And no third party or, you know, really seems to have a chance. I mean, you know, everybody's kind of looking around at the moment like, is there anybody?
Exactly. I mean, what about Donald Trump? Do you think he could come in as a not really a third party, but do you think he could jump in the middle of this? And
yeah, if he does, it's more material for us. You know, he's an interesting character with strange hair.
He really is. I haven't interviewed him, but I interviewed his political advisor, Michael Cohen, and it's really interesting because he's saying that if Mr. Trump isn't happy with the with the candidate that ends up winning the primary, he's going to jump back in. So it's going to be Ross Perot all over again. I don't
right.
know what that's going to accomplish.
It's funny. I just came across a Ross Perot bumper sticker I had in my closet the other day. I guess I should sell that on eBay. It just says Perot. I should probably sell it on eBay. It must be a collector's item.
Oh, I would think so. Now Perot was an interesting dude, though, because, you know, let's give him credit. He did get this country focused on the national debt.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I mean, and that's the thing. These parties come in, and these independents, they come in and they raise issues that people start thinking about, and then the two parties kind of, you know, shut them up as quickly as possible and move on because they don't want to deal with these particular problems.
Now, how does a bad idea become a terrible law with a misleading name?
Oh, yeah, that's, what is that, Chapter 9. It's basically how a politician takes a problem that's a non-problem and creates a law to fix it, and then ultimately creates a disaster by doing so that has to then be maintained because eventually it becomes profitable. And so, you know, you have vested interests who don't want to see that law go away. So in the book, I used an example of a law that was the Protecting Our Pedestrians Everywhere and Saving Our Drivers Act, which was called Pope Soda. And it was it's basically a law because there were a few pedestrian fatalities. A brilliant senator had a great idea to come out with a device that makes your car whistle when you drive. And, of course, the end result of that are a lot of dead animals on the side of the road and people having migraine headaches. But by that point, the aspirin lobby has a vested interest in people having migraines, and they don't want to see the law go away. So that was my silly example of many of the laws that currently exist.
Well, I think I know this by doing a little introspection, but what are the seven habits of highly partisan people?
There's reliance on biased news sources, which I guess the buzzword for that is called confirmation bias, which is where you read only what appeals to you and basically validates what you're thinking at that particular moment. There's acceptance of nonsense as fact, rejection of alternate viewpoints, chronic memory loss, acute hypocrisy, and defense of the indefensible, and conduct unbecoming, which is calling somebody an idiot at the dinner table.
I see. Well, you know, again, I wasn't there. I don't know the context, but sometimes my liberal friends and I call each other idiots, but we really love each other.
Right.
I don't know where it counts. But you know, the whole partisan thing. I mean, let's be honest. Fox skewed to the right.
Sure.
MSNBC skewed to the left.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, the mainstream media skews to the left. I mean, people do tend to watch what you know, what they want to hear.
Right. We actually have a sketch on the show tonight that kind of skews the whole debate thing. It's an MSNBC show where I interview. I interview a very well-educated Harvard guy who writes for The New Yorker and, you know, very left-wing, and then a seven-month-old baby on the right to represent the right. And so, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're doing on our show.
I love it, man.
Yeah, it's and, you know, you can. I know we're out there on YouTube in some places. I mean, the show itself, you have to be a subscriber to see the whole show, but the clips are out there.
And I am a subscriber, actually.
Oh, great. So. Okay.
Yeah, and I and of course, you know, what you guys have going for you is that now we have all these televisions coming out where you can actually watch internet on.
Oh, absolutely, TV. Yeah. Well, I believe GVTV is definitely in the forefront of that. I mean, they've really, I believe they're blazing the trail with this technology, this customize yourself television. So that's what, I mean, they started out as gangbusters so far. I mean, the subscriptions are great, and, you know, they're adding new programming. They just signed on a former producer for The Simpsons for an animated show.
Oh, great.
So they have some cool stuff, and then they have our show, and, you know, we're doing our fourth show today.
Now, is SC Cup still doing the college thing? Or,
yep, she's on, yeah, she was in, I want to say Missouri, but I'm not quite sure. Last night she was reporting on Glenn's show. From a college campus, and I believe she was reporting about, I guess, anti-Semitism on college campuses. So she's got a nice gig. She's traveling the country, visiting college towns.
Was just hate having SE come on campus.
Yeah.
actually, you know, SE Cup came on the show, I guess, about, I don't know, 6 months to a year ago, and she was great. I really like her. So,
yeah, she's fun. We actually, as a joke, we decorated our office with about 20 pictures of her on the walls and never said anything, but she came in to talk to us one day and, you know, left quietly but didn't mention the fact.
I tell you what, you're going to have to give me your email. We'll do it offline, but I've got a picture of SE that you have to have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
A really funny, and, well, I don't want to talk about it on the air. But
jeez, okay. Rumor mill.
Absolutely. No. Fully clothed.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Don't get too worked up, Brian. Now, Brian, what do you make out of this Constitution thing that we Tea Partiers keep referencing?
Oh, that silly old document.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss it. Definitely miss the Fourth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, First Amendment gets trampled on quite often. I mean, I was reading a column this morning just about, you know, the government's new ability to just kind of arrest you and on American soil and lock you up indefinitely, and how that seems to be passing. And
did you catch? I hate to interrupt you, Brian, but did you catch the thing about the scrubby pads?
I did. Nope, scrubby pads are not ringing a bell.
Yeah, the ATF has now banned large volume purchases of scrubby pads because they can be used to make silencers for guns.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's the, you know, these are the kind of bans that drive me. The same kind of ban that, what are they, they banned medicines that had ephedrine in it because you can make crystal meth if you, you know, buy enough of it. So now every time I want to buy a decongestant, I have to present my license and sign in.
My son had the need for a product like that, and when I went through the drive-thru at the pharmacy, they handed me a clipboard, and I lost count of how many times I had to initial and sign my name.
Right, and prove that you weren't making crystal meth in your bathroom.
Exactly. So don't drive through, you know, near Halloween if you're dressed like a hillbilly, because they really tend to look down on that. Go back, but I'm sorry, you were talking about the Constitution.
Right, all that, yes.
That's overrated, and go ahead.
Well, one of my chapters, the fourth chapter, just goes over the Constitution and the various amendments and just discusses them in what I like to think is a humorous way. And, you know, just kind of pines for the days when, you know, people kind of understood what the Constitution was for and what it did and what it allowed you to do and what it didn't allow the government to do.
Mm.
So it's like a refresher.
I normally don't ask people to comment on a future guest, but I've got Catherine Cryer, who wrote, you know, with Court TV and before.
Sure. Yeah, that's so funny you say that. We were supposed to interview her today. That's hilarious. She had to pull out. She had to cancel at the last minute. So we're actually going to.
Bad. She canceled on me, too.
No, she canceled on you, too? What's up with that lady?
I don't
Come on.
She's coming back. I've already got a rescheduled date. She's coming back on like the third week of December or something. So I don't know. But, you know, her book, and you're going to have to ask her about this, because she's suggesting that, you know, these people clamoring for limited government, you know, she thinks, I guess, the founding fathers would be rolling in their graves because in the way that the right attacks attacks government. So I don't
know. No, I've been reading her book, Patriot Acts. Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm about halfway through because I had planned on interviewing her, and then she had to cancel, so I stopped reading it to move on. But we're actually I'm gonna interview my producer Jack, who's going to wear a blonde wig and pretend he's Catherine Cryer, and that's the kind of thing we can do on our TV show.
Now, where do you actually tape?
We're in Manhattan, the same studio that Glenn uses for his show. So he's got And all the production that they're doing here. He's on his way down to Dallas next, January. Pardon me. He'll be on his way to Dallas, and will hopefully take over more of his studio here. But they will keep the studio in New York for our show, the BS of A, and then they have a few other shows they're doing, and others that are in the works. So, but everything takes place here at our studio, which is ironically right near the UN.
Wow, that is ironic. Well, you've got a never-ending supply of material, though.
We do, yes. And a lot of protesters outside, which is interesting. It makes it colorful coming to work, especially when the UN's in town.
I bet it is. Speaking of protesters, what's your take on the whole Occupy movement sweeping the land?
You know, they have legitimate concerns, and, you know, they certainly have, you know, serious complaints that are valid, but it's just that the way they've gone about it is so mismanaged and ridiculous. And I think it says something that, you know, I know of two people who are very involved with it, and both of them are wealthy, bored people, and they just, you know, they found their calling down there to make themselves feel better about themselves. But you know, I just think they, you know, you can't have a leaderless movement, you know, that doesn't know what it wants. I mean, we want global vegetarianism? No, we want, you know, no corporations. No, we want universal health care. No, we want no animal testing. You know, it's like, well, okay, you got to pick something.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, it's just really hard to sympathize with them the way they've behaved. And, you know, and they just have a lot of clowns down there. I mean, I don't know if you heard the Adam Carolla rant, but he has a podcast, and he just kind of went off on them as, you know, this is the backlash. This is the entitlement generation, you know, realizing that they're not as awesome as their parents had been telling them they were, or as society's been telling them they were, and now they're kind of upset.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, I agree with you. They have some legitimate concerns. Hey, Mark's being bipartisan. But
see, I'm contagious.
Yeah, I know. They actually, and I don't think they know they're doing this, but they're actually repeating some of the things the Tea Party's been saying for a couple of years. If you listen to them,
they are absolutely
the bailouts. They're against the bailouts. It's like,
right.
Gee whiz, why didn't we think of that? Also, they said the Federal Reserve shouldn't be occupying in secret. The way I heard them say that, and I was like, gee, there's another novel idea. And
right.
They actually have, you know, no corporation's too big to fail. I saw one guy holding a sign that says, "Get the government out of our life," and I'm like, we need to recruit.
Absolutely. No, I mean. There was the Venn diagram where you have the two circles that intersect.
Yeah,
and I saw one. You know, one, it was a Tea Party on one side and Occupy Wall Street on the other, and then right in the middle where they intersect, I mean, you had all these common causes that they share, and it's like, you know, maybe you focus on that. You know, maybe, since that seems to be, you know, bothering everybody, maybe those are some of the issues they should be pushing for, and not, you know, let's get rid of banks and, you know, make everybody eat vegetables.
Yeah, and I don't know that they all want that, but let's face it, movements, genuine grassroots movements, have a tendency to be hijacked.
Sure.
And I heard that the union buses and the Code Pink buses were on their way. I knew where this was going.
Yeah, there was actually a very large obstruction of traffic yesterday as they marched down Broadway, and it was union-inspired in cooperation with the Occupy Wall Street. And I don't think they got the numbers they wanted, but they did get they did block traffic, and my wife happened to be caught up in it and sent me a text saying she wanted to know what was going on. She'd been sitting there for an hour, and I looked it up and found out they were having a march, and I said, it's unions and Occupy Wall Street, and so they made an enemy last night.
No. Well,
yeah, she was indifferent until last night.
Uh-oh.
Now she's not a fan.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, I wish the original grassroots movement, you know, would have taken hold, and like you said, maybe they had formed a message that kind of identified what they were about, because now it's just entertainment, which is good for you. But
right, oh, sure. I mean, you know, it's entertainment. It's also frightening. I mean, you hear some of the stuff that's coming out of there, and it's also just, you know, absurd. I mean, there was a while I watched a video of a woman saying, you know, that workers in North Korea had a living wage. And that's the kind of stuff that blows your mind. It's like, really?
Wow.
Is that what you think? I mean, is that where? And you're getting that from where?
Yeah. Because wages are so high under communism and socialism. It's amazing.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. You know, the nice lifestyle.
It is. We all. I mean, I don't know why more people aren't clamoring for communism.
I don't know why it keeps failing on everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. And of course, people always like to point to, you know, Scandinavia as well. That's why we should be socialist. But
I actually was in Iceland in April, and they have a very nice lifestyle that's completely unsustainable, and they all seem to know it. And that's one of the reasons you keep hearing about Iceland is because they need tourists to come over there and give money so that they can support their welfare state. I had interesting conversations with people there who, you know, said they would be better off not working. So, you know, but that doesn't, you know, that's nice briefly, but it won't last.
No, and I dated a girl from Denmark once, and she was saying that a friend of hers had become pregnant, and the government was giving them an apartment and so much a month to live on and taking care of the baby, and, you know, you Americans could learn something from us, and I'm thinking, really?
Right.
let's encourage out-of-wedlock procreation. And
yeah, they don't see the dark side of all that, and that's the problem.
Well, they have a more casual attitude about life, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You got 5-year-olds tapping their watch, wondering when the hell recess is going to get there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, with ulcers.
Exactly. Yeah, at 5 years old. Now, one thing I got to ask you about, and we haven't had a chance to have Hank Williams Jr. on the show yet, what do we need to do to stop comparing people to Hitler? Although I don't really think that's what he was doing that day. But
That's actually a thing we just had in the show. We have a puppet show called Pumpernickel Boulevard, which is a takeoff on Sesame Street. And but we're, you know, all the puppets have, you know, social agendas and various things, the points they want to get across to the children. And
you obviously read Ben Shapiro's book.
And there's we have a song in there called "You're Not Hitler," where myself and a puppet, we sing about, you know, if you're not a genocidal maniac, you're not Hitler. And yeah, that's one of the chapters in the book, and I can't remember which number chapter that was, but, you know, we need to stop comparing people to Hitler just because we disagree with them. it is a ridiculous comparison.
So far, I don't think anyone really measures up. I mean, that's quite, he set the bar
the
bar pretty high.
I mean, people come close. I mean, Stalin came close. Mao, I mean, you know, they actually killed more people, but they killed more of their own people, whereas, you know, Hitler had a deliberate target that he was going after, but... You know, regardless, just because you dislike with somebody, no matter how bad their politics are or whatever, they just can't be Hitler.
Well, and you're right. I mean, we need to have – I try to be really nice to the people from the left who come on the show. I had Caroline Heldman on, Dr. Caroline Heldman from Occidental on, and, you know, she's way out there on the left. She writes for Al Jazeera's English version.
Right.
She writes for Russia Today. And we didn't really agree on anything.
I can imagine.
Yeah, we agreed to disagree agreeably, and it was a pleasant conversation. And there needs to be more of that.
There does. I mean, there's a guy, a gentleman who used to be a host, actually, with Janine Garofalo on Ear America. His name is Sam Cedar, and I ran into him. Our kids were going to the same camp, and we just started chatting. And it was like, "What do you do?" Or "What do you do?" It's like, "Oh my God!" I mean, I don't think we could be more opposite as far as, you know, who we work for and you
right.
know. But we always have fun together. I mean, it never gets ugly. It's just, you know, we completely disagree on numerous things and, you know, and annoy our wives to no end because we're off in a corner, you know, discussing something while the wives are trying to have fun. So,
yeah, my wife is the same way. I was giving a speech on global warming last night to a local tea party, and I was like, you know, honey, would you like to come? And she just threw me one of those looks.
Right. No, boring. Yep.
I've heard you talk enough about global warming around the house, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my wife just rolls her eyes. She's like, I just don't want to hear this again. So, you know.
Exactly.
I understand.
Sorry. But it's so much fun. I mean, how can anyone not like it? And again, those of us who are addicted. I got to be honest with you, Brian. I wasn't that into politics. I mean, I had picked up the whole, you know, we need to think twice about this global warming thing. I mean, I was on that agenda for a long time.
Right.
But it was actually 2008 when I saw the media just go into full swing attack on Sarah Palin that I began thinking, you know, hey, something isn't right in this country, you know, and I really, really started getting extremely interested in politics. So, but once the bug bites, man, like you know, it doesn't let go.
Yeah, I mean, and there, you know, you develop your certain, you know, the issues that are really of interest to you. I think mine tends to be our Fourth Amendment, which seems to just be getting whittled away. And yeah, I mean, it's annoying to everybody else around us, but it's fun for us.
Well, it's true. And speaking of fun, I think it'd probably be fun for you if we sold a few books while you were here.
Oh, that's right, that thing.
Why don't you tell the folks at home how they can get a copy of the BS of A, and then talk to them about how they can subscribe to Glenn Beck TV.
Sure. The book is The BS of A, Primer in Politics for the Incredibly Disenchanted, and certainly can get it on Amazon. And I imagine it's still in the bookstores. It should be in the bookstores, like, except for Borders, which is out of business, unfortunately. And then GBTV, our show is called The BS of A with Brian Sack on GBTV. And I believe they have a free two-week subscription on their site, which allows people to check it out and see what they have to offer. Because I know there are two different levels. There's a GBTV level where you just get to see Glenn's show, and then I believe there's one that gets you the whole network where you can see the documentaries in our show and all the other programming that they're doing. But that's all at GBTV.com.
Right. And I actually subscribed before the thing came on the air. That's how dedicated I am to you guys. And I haven't had a chance to watch as much as I wanted, but that's going to change, especially now that you've been here. And, you know, I got to tell the folks at home, it's painless to subscribe. They've got it worked out where you just have your depending on what level you want, you have your paycheck electronically sent to them, and they get it. And... I'm kidding. It's very affordable.
I think the pro is what, $10 a month, or the
It's very, very affordable. And now I've got an excuse to tell my wife I want one of those cool TVs where you can watch
the internet TV.
Yeah.
Well, I heard a rumor about an Apple TV coming out next year sometime.
Ooh.
So that sounds pretty awesome, but
she's
I'm an
Apple
freak.
Fan.
Yeah,
she's got the iPhone, the iPad, In fact, I have a cousin with this humongous honking TV in his living room, and he called to tell me that they were watching some of my YouTube videos on their.
Yeah, you can do. I mean, I know GBTV has a deal with Roku, which is like this little cube that allows you to watch GBTV on your regular television.
Cool.
As well as other movies, they have an archive of movies, and you can have Netflix go through it and YouTube and all. It's amazing because you can see these videos on a regular screen instead of on your laptop.
Absolutely, that's and this is the way it's going. I mean, I can
absolutely, yeah, no,
on being ahead of the curve, and I think it's great what you guys are doing. And by the way, I mean, a pretty courageous move. I mean, you have this great gig going on Fox. And
yeah.
Just say, hey, we're going to try this new thing.
Yeah.
I've seen Glenn in person. He was actually in Tyler, Texas at a place called the Oil Palace. And, I mean, the man is greatly loved, so I can only imagine he's a lot of fun to work for.
He is very, very fun to work for. And, Jack, who's my showrunner here, produces the show, he absolutely adores him, says he's the best boss he's ever had. And it's great having him around. I mean, even though the show is our domain and we're responsible for the content, you know, if we ask him to come in and do something for us, he's more than happy to. So we've actually used him in sketches, and we just shot something that I think is very funny this week that'll be on the show tonight. I don't want to give it away, but
it's
funny stuff. But and I know we have some clips out there on YouTube, things like that, that either people have put up on their own or we've put out there.
Now, you talked about the Simpson-like cartoon. I caught a glimpse when you guys hadn't launched yet of a cartoon character called Spooky Man.
Oh yeah, the Spooky Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was his. I think the Soros cartoon.
Is Soros still calling? I mean, that was pretty scary. Or he had one of his assistants meet with Glenn. Mr. Soros isn't happy with what you're doing. I mean,
yeah, you know, I guess you can do that when you got billions of dollars. You can have a lot of assistants.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't have that yet. As you notice, I called you myself. So
sure, I answered the phone myself. So we're even.
the BS of A available again wherever fine books are sold, except for Borders. And we can, I tell you what, we'll throw up some links. Our website, teapartypowerhour.com, we'll put up a nice picture of Brian.
Okay. Thanks.
And we'll put a link directly to,
you know what, if you want, you can do the Amazon link. And we have, if you want to do bsofa.tv, that goes to our Facebook page. We have a
growing
Facebook following.
Absolutely. We want to wish you much success. I don't hang up because I want to get that email address.
Sure.
But we wish you much success on the show. I'm gonna tune in tonight. I think it'd be a great way to spend some time on a Friday evening. And I want
to. Yeah. Or on demand. You don't have to watch it at 7. I mean, it's up to you. If you feel like going out, go out. Come back and watch it.
My show's the same way. I mean, we post the archives on the internet, and people can listen whenever they would prefer to do so. Brian, it's been a lot of fun having you here, man.
Thanks Mark. Thanks for having me.
And we'll have to have you back real soon.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mark.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar, a production of the Conservative Broadcasting Network.